definitely gave him stone soup.
Then, talking about stomach problems since Saturday, Kenny, we had that, no meat, veggie, omelet or something.
That's probably it, too.
By the time he got home. He mentioned something about the plain old scrambled eggs next time, you know, so we need to keep him in prayer. Good to see Stephanie here, though. I guess Stephanie, you were feeling kind of guilty, too.
Yeah, I'm playing where I'm at.
We're having to eat that Chipotle, you know?
Yeah.
What other priorities do you have right now? Yes, ma'am.
Madison, I don't know what the update is on there.
Madison?
Bobby's surgery.
Now, Bobby, what's the update on that?
Madison, she's going through chemo right now. Fever's up, fever's down. They're working with us to keep it where it's supposed to be.
You know, you gotta love the way God works through little children. And the fact that, you know, we have our own children sick and just holding them and trying to comfort them. And they just come through it next thing you know, they're out there for the jumping in close.
Yep.
You know, so it's great how well you're working on that. Bobby, your surgery is
18th.
18th.
Have time yet, but it's not 30 lines, so.
Bobby, you want to work with two prayers up real quick?
No, how I want.
We get there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just, we know you're in a great position. We just lay these requests at your feet. I pray these Addison, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, to touch her body and make everything go the way that your will would have it to go in your time frame, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to move me and not come get surgery. Just make everything go this morning. Help me get some relief, I would say.
All right. Ms. Pat, you got a moment?
Yeah, I talked to Carol Williams just before church, and she's in the ER at Tom Hall. And all she did was bent down to pick up a towel off the floor. She just took her back off, apparently. She's in a lot of pain, so she's in the ER.
All right. Ms. Pat, can we move that?
Father, we just come to you, and we thank you that our health is in your hands, our whole lives. You are the great physician. With Carol up to you, Father, and just ask you to give her some relief from the pain. Help the doctors find out if there's anything else wrong with you. I didn't think there was anything other than this brain. Just leave her in your hands, Father.
All right, Ms. Stephanie, you want to pray for your loving husband? All right, please.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for having provided for us today. Lift him up, and I pray, Father, that you would
would send someone across his path, Lord. I know that this family is praying for him, Lord, and praying for his salvation, Lord, but you would help them to find some help for him during the week, be with Tricia and her mother and her sister and her dad as they travel with the grandkids back and forth before Lord. Pray for their safety, Lord, and pray for John's comfort, and Lord, that you would intervene in that situation, Lord, and be God in that situation. Lord, so Jesus, thank you.
Anybody else have any prayer questions? Yes, Father.
Yeah, young gal, she's a beautician. She was in our church, and I think she's about 55. And cancer spread all through her body.
And what's her name?
Julie Berry. Her daddy was my vice chairman of my board when I was there. And I was there for 5 years, and she's a beautiful girl. Give her a few days.
Amen. But if you want to pray for her, please.
Amen. Also, I also have a nephew. My nephew Kevin, he's man, and I helped raise that little boy. But he's away from the Lord, and he's got cancer in the prostate. And so I'd like to remember him too.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and lift that up.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of casting all of our cares and all of our burdens upon you.
Amen.
And you've told us that you care for us, and we know you do. And you're touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And so, Lord, tonight, as we pray for all of these needs, and now here's two, they keep telling us on television that they're whooping cancer, but, Lord, everywhere we look, people are dying. So we stand in the gap tonight. We fill up the hedge. We pray for the Berryhill family. We plead the blood of Jesus over them.
Amen.
Pray that you'll be with Julie as she has to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, we're praying that you'll give her the spirit of joy and the presence of Jesus to make her crossing, that you'll be her help, that she'll sense your nearness, and may you just fill the family with the joy of the Lord, knowing that heaven is real, Jesus is waiting. We're praying and we're believing you, Lord. And then for my nephew Kevin, Lord, you know, most of all I pray for his soul. Because, Lord, he's lost, and he's dying, and he's going to split hell wide open. And we pray for his soul. We pray for his body. We pray the Holy Spirit to awaken him to salvation and to the love of Jesus. We know he knows, but he's rebellious. And he's turned away from God. So, Father, we're praying the hound of heaven down on him, that you'll convict him and convince him and convert him till he's ready to repent and be converted when the times of refreshing can come from the presence of our Lord. Answer prayer. And, Lord, we just plead the blood over him tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else?
Praise God.
How about a testimony? Do we have a testimony today?
I have a silly one.
You have a what, man?
A silly one.
A silly one?
2 or 3 days ago, I lost a little black cat.
What?
His name is Little Bill. He's a rescue. He's chipped. Bobby found it this afternoon. He opened the bedroom door. Little bedroom. There he was.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to say, like, I have a potty box in there.
You didn't tell me that cat didn't make any noise.
He didn't make any noise.
No.
Oh, wow. So that's my
And the dog know he was in there, otherwise he would have been saying something.
Well, I'm glad to see each and every one of you is here tonight. I wanted to talk to you tonight about, if you could turn to page 1431 in the Bible. We're going to go to Nahum. Y'all know that book real good. It's not the shortest book in the Bible, but it's pretty close. It's right after Micah. And it's kind of a warning. Brother Richard just mentioned about splitting hell wide open. And we know we have a loving God, but we also know we have a God that stands in the gap against those or against us. So I'm not going to go through all the passages of Nathan, but it's kind of a warning. One thing you don't want to do, according to what you read in this book, I'm only going to touch on a few places in chapter 1. And this is a vision of Nahum. And it says in verse 2, it says, God is jealous. Everybody there, by the way? Okay, God is jealous, and God, our Lord, revengeth. And the Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. But the Lord hath his way in the whirlwinds and in the storms and in the clouds and are the dust of his feet. He rebuked the sea and make it dry, and dried up the rivers. Bashan languished, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languished. That's correct. And the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire. His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And then we have some comforting up here. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. You go to Psalm 1, verse 6. I'll just read it for you real quick. Psalm 1, verse 6. Said, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I was looking at this this evening, I wasn't versed on this, but believe got me versed on it. So I had to do some quick thinking about it. It's definitely a warning for a worst person you can have is your enemy is God. All right, that's the worst person we can have as an enemy. There was 150 years between Jonah and Nahum, and there is some comparison there about an obedient nation and a disobedient nation, a prophet of both these men, and one that was a vision of God, and the other one which was not a vision for God, and sometimes we have a hard time. I wrote something on Facebook today, and I had some immediate responses, and they weren't loving it. And it had something to do with why are you not in church? And I wrote on there, verbatim, I don't remember what I wrote, I guess I was in a moment of anger. It was kind of like, okay, so the preacher's too loud, or he's too soft, or he's too long. The air conditioning is too cold, the heat is too hot, the pews are too soft, the children cry, and I went on with a few kind of anecdotes. Yeah, and I asked the last question, is so when your church is empty, who are we going to blame? Okay? because so many times we complain about so many things in our church and in our service that we forget what we came to church for.
Amen.
And we came to church to worship and praise the Lord. So when I was thinking about this here, a lot of people take too lightly what God's punishment is when you have God as an enemy. I'm assuming that everybody that is here today is a born-again believer and can understand the words in the Bible, what it means to us, and the fear, the reverent fear that we have for God. So it stirred me up, I guess, after getting that comments, and, you know, people were looking at the worldly part of church instead of the fellowship and the prayer and the worship and the praise of church. You know what I mean? If you don't like the music, go somewhere else. If you don't like the air conditioning, find a church that's comfortable for you. But I'm also saying, listen, stay in church. Stay in church. As long as it's a Bible-believing church. Okay? Nam is signified in here in his words that he is a comforter. It was not necessarily called a comforter, but the name signified a portion of him being a comforter. Even though he has verse here in his book, in his writings, about the fierceness and fury of the Lord, he always comes back with something, as in verse 7, and that is that the Lord is good, okay, and that we have the confidence to stand strong with him in the day of our troubles, okay, and he knows those that trust in him. So, Fred is looking at his record, so he's taking blood pressure, you know. And he feels confident with that number, even though it seems to me like it's a little high. Right, Ann?
Right.
All right, don't smile. But you understand what I'm saying. He has confidence in that number, and he feels good. And I'm sure that's what he's addressing to his doctor. I had the same problem here recently, and my doctor just told me to double up on a certain medicine, and hopefully that will bring it down a little bit further. So I'm down around 145 right now is what I'm running. He likes to see it get down to about 125. So it's something I've got to work on, you know, and that's fine. But here Nam is foretelling the destruction of Nineveh, and we understand that, but I want to equate that to Nineveh as being the United States of America, because that's what we're seeing. I think Brother Richard, you said something about we're hearing on the news about the cure for cancer.
Yeah.
Well, we hear everything else on the news, too, you know. I heard today something about that it ought to be a crime if somebody says something against one of the senators or representatives of Congress. It ought to be a crime. But it's okay to slam bass our president and not do a crime.
Right.
That's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know? The Congress is currently working on trying to delay the influence by foreign government in our elections, but yet it's okay for the illegals to vote. So I'm thinking, these are oxymorons here, you know, I mean, what is going on? You know, here, Nam has visioned here things that the God has told him, and he's doing it, I think, in a nice way, but he's giving it to you in a way that we've seen in other passages throughout the Bible, and that is God is jealous. God is jealous in the fact that, don't hold me to it, it's the second commandment in the Bible, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's just take that one part of it right there. So if we have other gods, and it could be materialistic, the praises that we give to unrighteous people. We saw evidence of that in our ladies' soccer winning team, that the person that is the captain of the team, a representative of our country, swore about going to the White House in a very negative way. And it wasn't the type of language that I wanted to hear. But she's a representative of the country according to her freedom of speech. So, you know, it's kind of upside down here. We have here a warning that is being given out that the Lord is a loving God. He is a good God. He is a stronghold for us. But yet, it says that he will. Notice it says in verse 2, the Lord will take, didn't happen yet, he's warning us, will take vengeance on his adversaries in the end run. I saw something today that said, let me get my mind set here. I've got so much stuff in my head. I've got to bring it down. I've got to get my computer keyed up. It's a rocky road to glory, but it's fulfilling. And I thought, gee, will it be? You know what? That's what. When we get to glory, it's the fullness that we could ever have, right? And it's hard for us to get there because of all the worldly things that are coming against us. Here we see that the Lord in verse 3 said, it's slow to anger. We've heard this scripture before in other verses. Brother Lee mentioned in Revelation, I got excited about it. I think I've mentioned it a dozen times since Brother Lee preached on it, about 144,000, even after the 3.5 years, right? 144,000 are still out there preaching the word. Now, if that isn't a merciful God, then what is? I'm not giving up on you, Brother Richard. I'm going to send somebody to preach the word to you. You know what I mean? Just like your prayer for Kevin. You know, he may have this disease, but we're not only praying for the disease, but we're praying for his soul.
That's right.
Right? We're not giving up on him. Okay? It also said in here, great in power. So how much power does God have?
All power.
The answer is all. He created it. He can take it away. He did take it away. Remember the flood? Okay? I think I mentioned the Paul, but they were using the wrong colors for the LGBA or LGB whatever the other day on their flag. That's God's colors. The rainbow. You know? It's nothing new for Christians. We know what it means. Okay? But he listed here in verses 3 all the way down to verse 6. Numerous ways of his power. Okay? And I saw that drying up of the river, and we all know about that drying up of the river. We remember that he just had to hold his hand out, right? Who was it? Who? Moses, right? And the river parted, and they walked across this swamp. No. It was dry land that they walked across it. So I'm seeing these cross references in here, and I keep wondering, you know, why aren't we reading the Bible more? Because we're seeing these cross reference words in there, and cross reference phrases in there. I read you Psalm 1:6, okay, and about the fact that he knows us, and you notice in verse 7 here in Nahum that it says he knows them that trust in him. And that's encouraging. That is encouraging. But listen, and also in this, it talks about the foretelling of a destruction of us. Destruction of us by the evil one, the wicked one, devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him. Okay? And it could be devil in a small fashion. It could be your neighbor because of his behavior and influence. It could be somebody that's at your work that might be giving you a hard time going against you, okay? They're pursuing the darkness, as it says in verse 8, pursuing the darkness of the enemy. Here, we see that the enemy is listed as darkness. And we've all known that throughout the scripture. The Lord is the light of the world, right? And darkness is depicted as the devil. Harshness. Well, I like the idea in the fact that when I read this, in the fact that it said that the Lord is slow to anger. Again, let me emphasize here, there's a chance for mercy, there's a chance for grace, there's a chance for repentance in there for everybody. Now, I think we saw in the real word, which is a chance for repentance. Okay? We have an upcoming revival coming up. God bless Malcolm and his work. We love him to death. We're looking forward to him being here. And I'm sure that he's going to bring some fire and brimstone stories. That's what he's supposed to do. Okay? And I think Brother Lee mentioned on it Sunday. In the fact that, what is revival? Sure, that's a question. Huh? It's reviving, right? That means somebody that is...
bringing life back.
Yeah. Somebody that is supposedly saved, maybe backslidden, fallen away, lost the first love, okay? And it is to revive us back to that position of communication with the Lord. Okay? And we're really looking forward to that coming up. There's plenty of things that are depicted in this book, okay? And it's only 3 chapters long. So I wanted to warn you. Is that the only warning that we see in there? I'm looking for it. Remember where it was. Bear with me here 1 minute. I will find it. And if I don't, I know it's in here twice. Yeah. So what's this warning here? And it is in chapter 2 in verse 13. With all these things that you've read, and I'm not going to read the whole passage. Okay, I would suggest that you go back and read the book. It's very short. Okay? In chapter 3, in verse... I'm sorry?
213.
Oh, 213. Yes, thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. 213, there's a warning there. But it's great for us to understand this, and that is, I am against thee. Okay? And also, if you go to chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, okay? And we all know who the Lord of hosts is, okay? It's the Lord of Lords is what the host is in here, the way it's depicted in the grammar change, what do they call it? From English to translation. I knew there was a word for it. So he is the Lord of hosts, because we know we have hosts, angels, right? And he is the Lord of all those angels here, okay? And he's giving some warning about there. Behold, I am against it. Isn't it great that we've got somebody that can stand in the gap for us? When we think all things are down, this warning here is very deportive it describes some things in there that are very discouraging. First, he notes he talks about the earth in chapter 1, okay? Talking about nature itself, the earth, the quakes, the hills, talks about the sea, okay? And then he goes into some physical moves, okay? In the coming of destruction that is coming, and how that will happen to us. Talks about these things as being wounds that will never heal. Y'all ever had a wound that healed, took a long time to heal? Now here it's talking about, I believe it's in last chapter here. Yeah, verse 19, it says, there is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous. Alright? So I kept thinking about that. And I'm like, you ever have a wound that took forever to heal? You know what I'm saying? I mean, forever to heal? Possibly, maybe, stealing. Okay, I won't say it. But I wanted to do two things here. One, this is encouraging in this book, in the fact he does describe not only the physical to us and the physical about the earth and the destruction that is coming. Okay? He also says that the Lord is against that evil that is there. But the encouraging part is that it says here that he will stand in the gap for us. Okay? He knows his own. He said the Lord is good. So why are we not pursuing the goodness when we have in here? There's only one or two verses in this whole book that is encouraging. But yet the rest of the book is talking about his destruction. You ever have somebody say a couple of good words to you and then all of a sudden the rest of the night they're yawning? You know I mean? Hi, Brother Richard, how you doing? You no good, me. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? And it's the other way around here. We only have two words of encouragement, two verses of encouragement. Have a lot of words about destruction. Don't you think about pay attention to the destructive order and what's going to happen? The blessing that each and every one of us who are born again believers here is we understand that the Lord is good and that he is strong in the day of trouble for us. Okay? And as I mentioned in the fact that it's a rocky road to glory, but it's fulfilling. And that gives me encouragement right there. Okay? That tells me that, listen, God didn't say it's going to be easy, but he did say stay in the path.
Yours.
Huh?
He will endure.
Yes. Okay? Stay in the path. I will be there by your side. You just sang a song. There's one particular verse, and I said, oh, the psalmist, and I'm not a preacher. What was that last song you had, Paul? 651? That sound about right?
661.
61, okay. It is great if God is in it. Right? It is great if God is in it. So I've addressed a couple of things tonight. And when I told you that I could take the fall for telling people to get in the church as I wrote, and I did not have, like I said, I did not have. I had a couple of people that were very against it. But you know, people have their own choice. I understand that. So what's your choice? Because I know that person didn't go to church. It's encouraging to know that here we have a vision of what is to come. It coincides with Revelations. And yet, we're not coming to church to praise God in spite of ourselves and in spite of the blessings that God is giving us in praising and worshiping Him. We're not thankful that each and every one of you is up here on Wednesday night. I know each and every one of us will be doing something else. There's many churches that do not have Wednesday night service. Many a church. And it's encouraging that we can get that hump day pickup by coming to church and listening to the Brother Lee preach. Amen?
Amen.
All right, who has a testimony? Any questions?
I want to praise the Lord that we got a picture of Judy. She's been up in Alaska with her cousin, lives up north of Anchorage. But she's been out fishing. And she caught a 15-pounder, took her half hour to land it.
Yeah, she threw it back, right?
No. She took that baby home, and they had it for something, a hell of a, about 15 pounds.
We need to be in
prayer. It was a beauty.
We need to be in prayer for Sissy. You got school starting in what, 5 weeks?
She now has those days.
School start in 5 weeks, and
it just ended.
It just ended.
Sissy's hanging out at Walmart.
Is that right?
Yeah, I followed her.
She's been gone. She had to restock.
That was her bill and not mine.
I made a comment on about the fellowship this Sunday about inviting a friend. Great opportunity for us to have a fellowship with maybe a neighbor or maybe a child or a friend that doesn't know anything about the church or fellowship with believers. So, use that as an excuse to blame me. John told me to invite you. So, and also upcoming revival at Malcolm Hills. I think we used to have some today was invite a friend at a pew, and maybe we'll try that again and see how much brother we about to see if we can do that. Okay? We'll put your name on the pew, you know. Happy Paul. Oh, you're not going to be here. Well, we can still package in your name. All right. Do you have any other testimonies or prayer requests?
I have this note in my Bible yet. When I was an enemy of God, still He pursued me.
Yeah, that's right. It's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging. If we talk to that enemy of God, we don't shake the dust off and move on. We take it personally. And kind of falters our faith, falters our pursuit of trying to bring people to the Lord. You know what? We need to do what the Bible says. We have to shake the dust off and move on. Don't come to the end. But you are, it's very encouraging.
I was an enemy of God before I was saved.
Yes.
Yes. So we need to remember that about other people.
Sam?
I used to tell my daughters, going to church is telling God thank you.
Right. Very
and
good.
Showing your respect to God.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Brian Lee? Hey, to get y'all out of here early. I don't know any more to say.
That's important.
What's that? What, Sissy, you want me to talk for 20 more minutes? Is that your first?
I did. Huh? You said that was first.
Yeah, first.
You go.
Oh, banana. Yes, sir, go ahead. Job pursuing. Still working at Manually Done?
sir.
And still pursuing another path?
Probably.
At the moment, no. Do you know why? I'm hearing good news, the fact that you are a voice and a light to God at that place, and maybe that's where you want to speak it. Yeah, I'm right. Oh, bigger and better than. All right, anybody else? Last chance, going one. Yes, ma'am, ma'am?
I have.
Three times today.
Yeah, really. Chatty Cathy. I think it's a lot easier to deal with our problems and our ailments if we trust God and just tell him. Appreciate him and ask him for help.
I've mentioned it numerous times in our fellowship because in our Sunday school class about who knows where this person is today or this person is today, you know. And I try to encourage the buddy system. Say, I'm not going to say, okay, you and Pat have to continue to talk to each other once a day, you know, whatever. That's up to y'all. But yeah, we should be concerned about our fellow brothers and sisters. Be concerned when they're not here. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. I mean, that's not an issue. Or sickness comes up. You know, that happens. I think that we should be concerned when we don't see, especially if we don't see 2 weeks ago.
We went to, this is a testimony for Ron. You know, we went to visit, Daddy had stuff out to visit the Sitchcom.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some fruit stuff. And she was, we were sitting out in the yard, she says, well, I'm going to tell you something that wrong way. She said, he was the only one who visited me in my
life. Yeah.
Well, it was a testimony for Ron and a doctrine against the church. Because she said, Ron was the only one who did it.
Right.
That I just want to warn you.
Yeah. He's a good man. I've known Ron for 40 years. I know talking about the backsliding and how God brings you back. And, Ron has lost his peace. You know, I'm thankful he's my brother and my brother-in-law.
And this man, he told me that first Wednesday night, I don't like children. I'm not working for children.
Yeah.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
And look who loves the kids.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. How God can change a person's heart, right? Amen. All right. Running me for the third time. I know your name. How about closing us in prayer tonight?
Well, thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us together. And we thank you so much for allowing us to be alive on this side of the cross. Your tremendous grace is poured out upon us. It's poured out upon the whole world if they'll just reach out and receive your loving kindness that you showed us. And we thank you that we carry that loving kindness inside of us. Help us get it out. Help us with our words. Help us show the world how much you love us. But the wrath is coming. And we know it. We thank you that you showed us that it's coming. We have the hope in you. Help us, encourage us to keep showing those others that they don't have to go through the wrath. They can call on the blood of Jesus, our tremendous Savior. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be safe.
John, Marco says we got the kids help us set up tables tonight for Sunday.
We're here Saturday, and we got a work day. Friday I'll have the square and the chairs out.
Tables can't be in the
front. No.
Hopefully he
didn't know. Square hands is on Friday. I'm going to be here Saturday and I've asked for a work day and I'll put it on email and whatever.
Was it
blue? Thank you very much.
Yeah, well,
that look in her face?
John, question.